This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Dallas Cowboys training camp. Remember, you can check us out on the Fan Cam, the Twitch, the YouTube, courtesy of Uber One. New members enjoy 3 months free at joinuberone.com. Corey, are you prepared? Is the Metroplex prepared for NFL overreaction or reality?
I don't think so, Kevin. Okay. I do not think so.
That's an overreaction.
Okay.
Next.
What if I just said they are prepared?
Then that's reality. That's, okay. That's how all it
right.
works.
Dang it.
That's pretty simple.
Well, you know what? I don't think they're prepared still.
Okay.
Your face, DFW.
Oh, wow. Do you want to start with a Cowboys one then?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Overreaction or reality, Jalen Tolbert is a prime candidate for Cowboys training camp breakout player.
Prime candidate?
Prime candidate.
Overreaction.
Ooh.
Would I love to see it? Yes, but I also thought that as rookie in second year. Unfortunately, his rookie year, he came into it, and as they said, they had a little delay, and then they tried to put too much on his plate,
yeah.
And then he didn't really get what he needed. So, like, that's unfortunate that they didn't know how to develop him. Like, that's it. So they're now the Rangers in developing pitching. So, but it is on him to have that moment, and it'll be a finally moment rather than a breakout moment for me. It'll be a finally he did something that we thought he could do. I'm hopeful, though, for him, man. I'm not hopeful against it.
I think the logic there is, well, I mean, obviously they want him to win the number three receiver spot.
They want somebody to, hey, man, does it matter who?
Yes.
Does it really matter who?
To step up and win that. But also, with the absence of CeeDee Lamb for now, the thought would be that he would get, you know, maybe some more looks and everything like that early on.
Yeah, and then that gives an opportunity for Flournoy to come in here and do his thing, too.
That is true.
And maybe earn a spot.
NFL overreaction or reality? The Commanders should go all in to acquire Brandon Ayuk. Now, I know all in is not a great phrase around these parts right now because all in meant, you know, pretty much not do anything. But what if the Commanders really pushed all in and they're like, let's go get Brandon Ayuk?
What's that going to cost? Because, like, in the NBA, it's 64 draft first round picks to get a really good player.
Okay, so the good news with this is, since in the NFL you still have to pay the player as well, I'm going to make the argument right here, right now. First round draft pick.
Just one?
Yep.
Man. That's an all in,
and maybe a complimentary draft pick.
Well, okay, here's
first round draft pick's a big deal.
Here's my thought on that. Who else do they have on their roster?
Terry McLaurin
and Jahan Dotson, who they just drafted in the first round, a couple of years ago, and that's where I'm like, I think McLaurin's just as good, if not better, than Brandon Ayuk. I think Ayuk benefits. I think Ayuk is really good. Listen, I'm not knocking him at all. I think he's had better offensive scheme than the Commanders have offered up in their time. And, oh, yeah, they also added Luke McCaffrey. Don't forget about that, Kevin. They added Luke McCaffrey in the draft so that they could have that kind of player. So I just don't know how it fits in unless they're ready to prepare to move on from McLaurin or something like that. I just don't know how exactly he fits the thing.
I believe you have clearly forgotten the 2019 Arizona State football season where Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk were together.
Yeah,
You're not giving that enough weight here.
Okay, so how did they do that year, Kevin?
They were great.
How did Jaden Daniels do?
He was pretty good.
Okay.
He completed 61% of his passes, 17 touchdowns versus 2 interceptions.
That's actually really good. Why did it take him going to LSU to be known?
Well, because he was at Arizona State, and they weren't great.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Okay, you know, if you're saying that a link-up like that's going to happen, the last one we saw was Devontae Adams and Derek Carr, and look how that worked out for Derek Carr.
True. Oh, man, that year, Ayuk, 65 catches for 1,200 yards.
All right. There it is. Yeah.
So you're telling me, I get to do this finally.
Yeah.
You did not research the 2019 Arizona State football season
not
in preparation
this time.
For this
not
show?
Not this time, but next time I will.
Okay. Probably
but,
not.
But, I mean, Ayuk wants to go be a number one receiver somewhere else. He knows that the touches are limited in this offense, and he feels like they don't want him. The Niners have been like, hold on, we kind of are backing off on a lot of that. But he still is like, look, I really want to be wanted. And everybody wants that, right, with their company. If you're going to work for a company, you want to feel wanted by them. So I understand where he's coming from. I think it'll all work itself out. They'd love to keep him around. But I can see, if the Commanders did that and gave those kind of tools to Daniels in his rookie season, that would be impressive and scary at the same time.
NFL overreaction or reality? The Dallas Cowboys will have only 3 All-Pros this season.
3 All-Pros.
Now, I know that still sounds like a pretty good amount. I believe they might have had 8 last year, first and second team.
Mm-hmm. I was watching on receiver, Kevin.
Not that helped.
On receiver, I was watching, and St. Brown didn't get into the Pro Bowl last year, remember? And he was all furious about it. And then what was even worse, though, is he goes on a Zoom call with the dude from the AP, and they're hey, you are an All-Pro. And he goes, okay, all right, cool. He was so mad about not getting the Pro Bowl, but then he gets the All-Pro, and he's just like, yeah, exactly. Like, I guess that was as cool as it could be, though.
He was first team, too. Yeah, that's better.
So, 3?
So, last year, you had CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin, Daron Bland, Brandon Aubrey, second team, Dak Prescott, Tyron Smith, Tyler Smith, Micah Parsons, and Brian Anger. So I'm sorry, 9.
I think you can do that again with maybe Anger, maybe Aubrey.
But not Tyron Smith.
Not Tyron Smith for sure.
Because he's not on the team.
I think Tyler could do it.
Okay.
I think he could make it this year. So I think you could probably get 3 to 5.
Okay.
I'm going to put in that range.
Sports Illustrated is predicting the All-Pros for the Dallas Cowboys to be limited to 3. And that would not include CeeDee Lamb this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In a contract season.
Yeah.
Do they not understand how this works?
You know, I'll reach out.
Have they not heard the Corey theory on the 3 main factors and motivation for professional athletes?
I will reach out to them and see what I can do. They have Tyler Smith as a second team. They have Zach Martin first team. And then they have Micah Parsons as a second team rusher.
Okay.
And which is interesting because we were talking with Mickey earlier about, like, you're probably going to see more forceful, like you're just a straight linebacker on this series of plays. So that would be a pretty big drop. But then again, you had 8 or 9 All-Pros last year. And do you really care about that? Or are you like, no?
I do, because that means that the players are actually good. You know, like it tells you that your roster is good. So what's the – if I'm the GM, I got a roster that is in all things good.
Yeah.
What do I do to make it better? Because can you imagine being the GM that has a roster that you're like, I don't have any. I'm not even good enough to have any of those guys, and we can't make the playoffs.
Pretty sure that's what the Yankees do to prove a point from time to time. NFL overreaction or reality, the Raiders should trade Devontae Adams before the season starts.
Okay.
Look, that team sucks.
Right. And I can't tell you that by trading away Devontae Adams that they're going to get better.
I mean, no, but they probably won't get that much worse. And maybe they can get some assets for the future.
He is in a place based on, again, watching receiver. This dude is in a place where he's just very emotional with what happens each game. If they're not winning, he's like, I'm further and further away from my goal. And my goal is to do this and be a champion. So that's where his mindset is right now. And maybe he does want to be on another team that can give him that opportunity. It doesn't sound like he's 100% committed all the time, but Kevin, when Josh McDaniels is your head coach, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to feel fluky and emotional because he's not good at what he does. And now they got Antonio Pierce, and he really does like and feel like that's the guy that can help them get to that place.
Okay. All right. I get what you're saying.
I've never liked Josh McDaniels.
I just don't think the Raiders would honestly get that much worse because who's throwing him the ball?
I mean,
anyway?
It's Aiden O'Connell, who he signed off on the Jimmy Garoppolo benching. He was like, look, I don't like this guy. Make somebody else be the quarterback. And now they got Aiden.
Or Gardner Minshew.
Right now they got Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, man.
Gardner, dude, he's a good backup.
Okay.
Right? And maybe Aiden O'Connell's a good backup, too. But Gardner Minshew's a good backup. He's not a starting quarterback that's going to give you the consecutive, consistent wins.
Okay. Now, for the record, Devontae Adams and even his agent have been like, hey, this is baseless, unfounded speculation that we want to get traded, okay? So stop it.
Watch receiver and you won't think it's baseless.
Yeah, because you get the sense like he does not care for his... I don't know if it's not his team or the organization, just like, hey, what are we doing in terms
of the whole feeling of what's going on. Are we actually on this journey to go do this, or are we just kind of in a myriad of nothingness?
NFL overreaction or reality, Tua should get paid because he's actually a really good deep ball passer. Now, I was looking at this completion on passes of 20-plus yards.
Okay.
All right? So not a check down, ran the ball, blah, blah, blah. Just completion percentage on passes of 20-plus yards. Who do you think is the best? Who has the best percentage completion last year?
20-plus yard passes. I mean, it should have been Mahomes. Maybe Dak?
Patrick Mahomes is shockingly tied for third from the bottom.
Okay, he's struggling. Well, completions are a two-man piece there. So
Mac Jones is last at a robust 8%. Bryce Young, 22%. Patrick Mahomes was tied with Sam Howell at 28%. But then again, Joe Burrow was 29%. So two of the quarterbacks, we are like, hey, you're probably the best two quarterbacks in the league, are pretty low on there. Number one on the list, Brock Purdy competed 55% of his passes, 20-plus yards.
Their offense is built for space. They create space so well. And this is air yards. Okay, because
I know the knock on Brock Purdy is I throw it
dude,
four
throw
yards.
Throw a screen, and all of a sudden you have a row of white jerseys in front of him. That's interesting because the offense is built really well. The offense for Tua is constructed very well for guys like Tyreek Hill to get wide open downfield, guys like Jaylen Waddle to be wide open downfield. They're very good receivers for one. Tua has had some very good anticipation to deliver those passes last year, too. He understands that offense well.
Tua,
that's the way I would pitch it.
Okay.
I don't think the ball jumps out of his hand, but I think he has good, very much like Romo, he has good anticipation and understands the offense enough to know where his best targets are going to be.
Tua was second on the list at 50% completion percentage. By the way, tied for third on the list, C.J. Stroud and Dak Prescott, both at 49%. Yes. The Mahomes one was pretty shocking.
Yeah, you just automatically think that, but man, how many drops he had for him last year.
That is very fair. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys training camp. And coming up next, I promised you we'd bounce around plenty. Let's talk with Jared Sandler as the trade deadline is but 5 days away. We'll talk with Jared next right here on The Fan.
And Lowe crunches one to deep center. Robert going back. He's at the track. It's gone! Into the Chicago bullpen and opposite field. Three-run home run for Nathaniel Lowe. The Rangers lead 10-2.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from Oxnard. Thank you again very much to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, which you can see on Corey's hat, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps for bringing us out here. And right now, courtesy of Blue Nail Roofing, you can sing it if you want. We bring to you Jared Sandler. Good afternoon, morning, sir.
What's going on, fellas?
Well, we were hoping that we could have a little bit more time with you today because we have lots of Rangers thoughts and discussions and trade deadline ideas.
Well, I am down to talk baseball with you guys because I know that Cowboys training camp is starting, and I know that we got to make sure to cover the 78th guy on the roster. So I want to get my Rangers time in while I can.
Hey, we definitely just got told by somebody on the field that we better not be broadcasting about what's happening on the field right now. So we had to assure him. I was like, that's not what we're talking
about.
Don't worry.
Jared, I just saw the update on Dane Dunning being activated. What are you like? Is that a move for a specific reason or is that just, hey, man, it's time for him to go?
Yeah, I just think he's healthy. I don't want to say they wanted to just give him some rest with his arm. I think it was barking a little bit, the shoulder. But, you know, I think that would probably discredit whatever medical work was done. But it was not believed to be serious when they put him on the IL. He's passed, you know, the test. He pitched fine in his rehab outings. And, you know, as far as the timing of it, I think some of it is that, you know, just ready to go, but also with Max Scherzer.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today. Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Pitching here today, you just kind of don't know, and you want to make sure you're protected in long relief. And you know, the Rangers don't have an off day until the first, and they don't want to play roster gymnastics every day to make sure they got enough fresh arms in the bullpen. And so, if needed, Dane Dunning would be ready to perhaps give them some length if Max Scherzer's outing was abbreviated based on either performance or, you know, that fatigue that he was experiencing last time he faced the Orioles.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about that, because you made allusions to it, if not just flat out spelled it out last time. Not a lot from Max Scherzer. Did you anticipate that he was going to be shut down for a minute or maybe even injured list? Like, I realize they said he's good to go for today, but did you think this was going to be a setback that was going to require some time off?
I think, Kevin, the only reason I didn't was that they came out right away and said that they're not sure if Max was going to make the start against the White Sox, but, you know, worst case, they would just push him back. And here's the thing. If it was 28-year-old Max Scherzer, then you probably are just like, hey, why don't we, you know, take 15 days. Let's make sure you're good. Velocity drop maybe a little notable. We don't want to, you know, let this fester. And then the fact that he's 40 years old, I just think you're just going to be dealing with this year. You know, coming off the back surgery, the nerve stuff that delayed his return. I think Max Scherzer's, you know, not day to day, he's start to start. I think it's just he is going to be start to start all year. And so hopefully he goes on a stretch of a few starts where there are no issues and he feels great physically. But I think he's just at a place, fit, you know, at his age, science, Mother Nature, whatever, it's catching up as it does for everyone. And I just think he's kind of at a place now in his career where he's more delicate than he used to be. Not that he's not as tough or anything. His body just isn't able to withstand the workload the way that it used to. And so things like that are probably going to pop up here throughout Max's season if he is able to stay healthy, which, you know, that in and of itself would be an impressive accomplishment.
Do you think for this start in particular, then, like, best case scenario, if it's five innings kind of deal? Or is that not
– okay. I'd say this. The White Sox aren't very good, Kevin.
They've lost 10
excuse
straight.
Excuse me?
Yes.
What?
They're not very good. And
breaking
now, that doesn't mean they can't, you know, take it to Max and, you know, snap that losing streak, right? This is a team that took 2 of 3 from the Braves earlier this year. And, you know, they swept Tampa. I don't know. You know, they've won games, right? It's not like they can't win.
True.
They've won a few games. But they swing a lot, and they don't walk a lot. And the only reason I say maybe not five innings is Max could be really efficient because the White Sox just, you know, don't force him to work hard, and maybe he gives you a little bit more. But I think the spirit of the question, I think, is appropriate in that. I don't think that Max Scherzer is just totally without leash. I think they want to protect him, and, you know, they don't want to overextend him by any means.
I hope you'll appreciate the spirit of this question as well. Besides just the White Sox, who else do you know that likes to swing a lot?
Oh, man.
A's? Swinging A's?
RJ?
Okay,
whoa.
All right.
He's here with his fiance. I'm not here.
And what do you think?
Never mind.
I'm feeling, based on what we've been seeing, this team's back. Did Corey Seager, does he look like he's back in his vibe too? Like, even more so than usual?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch last night.
So
his last 50 games, he's basically a 1,000 OPS guy, right? You know, he got off to a slow start. Understandable given, you know, the way his late offseason and spring training unfolded with the surgery. You know, he looks dialed in. Now, he's not getting thrown a lot of strikes. I think, you know, the percentage of pitches thrown to Corey in the zone lower than it's been since he joined the Rangers. And, you know, as good of a season as Josh Smith is having, you know, teams are clearly choosing to face Josh, you know, instead of Corey. And Josh, more often than not, is making them pay. But then what about the guy who hits after, Wyatt Langford, and then the guy who hits after him, Adolis Garcia? You know, those two guys are huge here, right? Because Corey Seager's been rolling. And hopefully Adolis Garcia can turn a corner and get back to being a run producer. The Rangers don't need him to hit 280. They don't even need him to hit 250. You know, it's 240, but he gets back to having a nose for driving and runs. You know, that's the Adolis Garcia this team needs, because the guys in front of him are getting on base. And I think we're going to continue to see growth from Wyatt Langford. He's not perfect, right? He's going to be way better next year, I'd imagine, than this year. But, gosh, there are times, there are stretches, there's at-bats, flashes, whatever, where it's like, this is a special player, and you still feel good about it every time he steps in the box.
Yeah, and you brought up some other people later down in the lineup, too. And I feel like I've seen as competitive at-bats from Nate Lowe this year as I've seen – or lately, as I've seen from anybody all season long. How are you feeling about what he's adding to this thing, too?
No, yeah, I agree. And his is an apples-to-apples to Corey, but, you know, Nate had the oblique injury right away once games started in spring training, and so he missed the rest of spring training and missed the first 3 weeks, and he got off to a slow start and, you know, probably had to get his legs under him. But, yeah, over the last couple months, you know, he's gone back to being a big on-base guy, draws walks. And then, you know, his patience, I think, is important. It's valuable in this lineup because they've got a lot of aggressive hitters. And I think good lineups, even though it's a string of individual actions, you're not sharing a ball. You don't need to worry about pick and rolls or rub routes or, you know, anything like that. I do think that if you've got a lineup full of guys that are the same type of hitter, that can be very disadvantageous to you. You don't need a lineup of all aggressive hitters. You don't want a lineup of all patient hitters. You need probably a good mix. And Nathaniel Lowe helps you get that mix. And, you know, I don't know, guys, if he's going to be a 25-plus home run a year guy again. You know, he had 27 a few years ago. That just might not be his game. But maybe he's a guy who can get you 15 to 20 while getting on base, you know, 35-36% of the time, and someone who can hit lefties and righties. You know, he's not a liability against one or the other. That might not be a guy you build a lineup around, and that's okay. You know, we have these character types by position, and your first baseman's supposed to be big, bad home run hitter, but what if he's just a good hitter? What if he's just a productive hitter? That's okay. You can bat him fifth, sixth, seventh, and that's a really tough guy to have to get through when you get to the bottom half of the order.
Now, I have a baseball minutia question for you. You talked about how Corey Seager was right around 1,000 OPS for the last little bit. Do we need to contact Baseball Reference and get them to switch that period to a comma?
What?
Because technically it's 1.000, but nobody ever says it like that.
Yeah, we all say 1,000.
Yeah, so how do we get bizarre. That changed?
Yeah, it's bizarre because it's a percentage, right?
And yes!
It's weird because we don't say that... you know, like Luka Doncic shot 372 from three, right? We say yeah. Shot 30. So, like, I don't know when this started, probably back when Matt was growing up. You know, you don't say that a guy's hitting 22.7%. You say he's hitting 227. And so that whole thing, I'll be honest, it's just like that's always what it's been and that's what I've known. And so I just fall in line. But it is kind of weird that we talk about these rate stats as if they're just like whole numbers and not percentages.
So what I just heard from Jared is if that's just the way things are, you should probably just keep them the same way.
Yeah, just shut up and dribble.
Wow!
Not in baseball, though.
Yeah, you don't want to dribble a baseball.
That is a very good point. Now, we've been talking about this. Oh, my God. Yeah. We've been talking about this a lot off air, and I know Corey is keen on this suggestion. Could you see, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, the Rangers being both buyers and sellers? Because we continue to talk about it like it's an either-or option. Like, you either buy because you're going to contend or you're going to sell because the season's over. But if the Rangers, like, truly believe in, I don't know, the returning health of their starting pitchers, or maybe you want to go a different direction, do you believe they could simultaneously be trading to acquire and send away major leaguers?
Yeah, and this probably... to be as thorough as possible would require a much longer answer than anyone wants. But the short answer is yes. Now, I would say that if the Rangers were, you know, like the Orioles and they're going for it, or the Phillies or the Dodgers, that probably doesn't really ever make sense to do both outside of some unique circumstances. But that's not where the Rangers are. Now, I do think that if they are going to add, that balance is going to be, you know, way more in favor of adding than subtracting. But they're in a unique spot with their pitching. They have, you almost like hate saying that a team's got a surplus of pitching, because the minute you think you do, you don't, because, you know, five guys go down over a two-week stretch. Right? It's just the way pitching's fragile. But the Rangers really do. And here's the deal. If they acquire guys, they've got to create roster spots. And in order to create roster spots, guys have to, you know, no longer be on the roster. And some of those guys, you know, might not have options, might not have that sort of flexibility. So I could see a scenario in which the Rangers, you know, with Tyler Mahle coming back and now getting Dane Dunning back and Cody Bradford hopefully soon to follow, and then down the line, Jacob DeGrom, the Rangers might look and say, you know, that, hey, if you want to offer us something of interest for Michael, I'm just throwing a name out, Michael Lorenzen.
What?
You know, all right, maybe. John Gray, maybe. You know, yeah. I don't think they would say no to at least having the conversation. And I think the Rangers have an opportunity to maybe play both sides. But I don't think they're going to be, like, super aggressive buyers unless it's for someone with multiple years of control. But I think that they can make some incremental improvements in the bullpen and, you know, with their bullpen depth. And then also maybe situationally in their lineup. It'd be great to get a huge middle-of-the-order bat. But maybe it's a guy like Yandy Diaz who's not super sexy but will make your lineup better. Someone like Taylor Ward who can help you against lefties. You know, guys like that who aren't going to cost you a ton but will make your lineup better. Those are the types of moves I expect them to make as buyers. And, yeah, they could make some, you know, a move or two as a quote-unquote seller looking ahead to next year and years beyond because, you know, they obviously expect to compete for a wide window.
Jared, and I've asked Bochy this too, when you look at this team and they are playing at their best, what addition do they really need? Is there a place?
Yeah, so I would say that it's tough to know with the bullpen. I do think they need improved bullpen depth, even though that's going to, you know, organically happen with the return of Bradford, who will likely go to the bullpen, and then Mahle, who will bump someone to the bullpen. But I'd love for them to get another Josh Spores, who is a power arm who can strike guys out, who isn't going to necessarily cost you a closer's price tag, but, you know, is someone who can, you know, help you get outs in the sixth and seventh. And then I just think if you look from last year to this year, the Rangers really miss Mitch Garver. Now, 2024, Mitch Garver hasn't been as good, but Mitch Garver was so good against lefties last year.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Adolis just hasn't had, you know, the type of year you'd like for him to have. And White Langford's definitely come on, but, you know, it's not like he's a top 10 MVP candidate. Who's the right-handed bat that you can stick in there that, you know, strikes a little bit of fear, maybe breaks things up with the lefties, makes it tougher for opposing teams to match up? I think that's an area specifically in which they could maybe boost things up. And then it could also, in conjunction with that, address maybe the DH spot where you'd like to get some more production or, an outfield spot. Those two kind of are tied together in some ways. But I think that's really the area with the lineup is just maybe boosting up your presence in the middle against a left-handed pitcher.
Could you stick around with us? It feels like there's still a lot more to break down. Could you stick around for us for another segment on the other side of the break?
You got it.
Outstanding. We will talk with more from Jared Sandler and hopefully not get yelled at by anybody from the Cowboys the field.
We're okay.
Next, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where we have worked everything out here in Oxnard with the Cowboys coaches. They know we are no longer trying to live broadcast any elements.
Well, we weren't in the first place, Kevin.
No, that's right. I didn't mean no longer. I mean, we never were, wink.
We really weren't
broadcasting any elements of their practice. So we needed to make that clear, and we're good to go. And we still convinced Jared to stick around with us while he's also answering questions about children's paternity. Now, I'm sorry, that might have been the other. What that question got asked? Am I just supposed to ignore that was the first question that got asked?
All right.
Now, Jared, in a non-paternity sense, on the Rangers front, how much should we take out of this winning streak right now in terms of, hey, the Rangers have won four in a row, and that's awesome, but the last three have been against a god-awful White Sox team? Like, how do you balance, are the Rangers playing better or because they got worked in those first two games against Baltimore, or is this just a really terrible White Sox team?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think, you know, obviously the Rangers are taking advantage of the fact that it's the White Sox. But
as they should, yeah.
And they didn't earlier this year against the Rockies, right? And so, you know, I'm sure that the Astros are kicking themselves for dropping two of three to the A's, and the Mariners just got swept by the Angels. So, you know, you got to win them. And yesterday, I think people felt better, just the 10-2 margin as opposed to one-run wins. But, you know, you won one-run games against the White Sox two best starters, Eric Fetty, who's going to be one of the more coveted trade chips here the next few days. And then Garrett Crochet, who, if he is traded, will be one of the more expensive trade pieces and was an all-star. But the Rangers have also won 11 of 15, so it's not just this this four-game winning streak. They are playing better. Now, they were winning games here up until yesterday without, busting out the hits. And so you still kind of are hoping and waiting for this team to really hit its stride offensively. But, I think the thing that, jumps out, that the bullpen's been better. They have consistently gotten good work from their starters, which helps. And, now it's about trying to, put together a run with the bats. Now, that's where maybe the Rangers in the first few games of the series, I don't want to say lucked out, but benefited from the fact they didn't face a daunting lineup that took advantage of the really good pitching. The Rangers still offensively need a little bit of a bump. And again, maybe Adolis Garcia can help, or getting Josh Young back, getting, improvement from Wyatt Langford with his continued growth. All these things, Evan Carter, all these things hopefully will add up. It's not going to be one answer, but a lot of little things that help grow this lineup and get it back to form.
Yeah, I'm with Jared on this front of like believing that these kinds of games are good to get confidence back. And can I keep using this word though? And Jared, you're welcome to use it. Continue to ascend towards the end of the year, because that's the thing, is as everybody continues to get better, a little bit better, competitive at bats, all these things can grow. And this is where you kind of build the confidence as you get to those other teams.
Yeah, and we saw last year, you don't necessarily need to be surging when you get in the playoffs to win the World Series.
No kidding.
To Corey's point, if you look at this team, it's a little bit of a different beast, right? Because they have a chance over the next 2 months, as long as they have relative health, to be a totally different team than they were for the first 100-plus games of the year, right? Getting Tyler Mahle in the mix, getting Josh Young back. Evan Carter played more than Josh Young did, but his back was clearly bothering him, and hopefully you get a more productive Evan Carter. And then if you do make a move or two.
Hold on, Jared. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I really do have to ask, because I'm with you on this. Does it feel like a fool's errand at all to continue to say when Josh Young comes back, when Evan Carter comes back? Because I know they've made more progress, but it does kind of feel like we've been down this road a couple of times, only to see it be like, it's going to take a little longer than we thought.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say that with Josh Young, obviously, he's still got to get through his rehab assignment, which will start tomorrow in Frisco. But I think there's more confidence that this time around the wrist is in, a better position physically. But that's fair. And I would even add to that, Kevin, hopefully all the burden is not placed on these guys who are coming back after missing several months, right? Tyler Mahle and Jacob DeGrom more than a year. Josh Young has played four games this year. Evan Carter, when he comes back, will have missed multiple months. Same with Cody Bradford. So, these guys can help. They will help. Are they going to be, their best form, right away? I don't know. So everyone's different, right? Everyone is able to come back from injuries, different than the next guy. But I don't know that you can just guarantee it. It's not automatic. But I do think that the Rangers feel a lot better that they're closer to getting these guys back than what was initially believed.
Now, let me ask you a hypothetical question, as if you were the Jerry press conference. What do you think the Cowboys have accomplished this offseason, besides not very much?
Yeah, I think they've done a good job of creating separation between themselves and the other teams in the division. They're just going the wrong direction.
Negative separation.
Okay,
he's talking
about
there.
I gotcha.
But they've done a really good job of locking up CD and taking care of guys.
Yeah, so about that, whenever you talked about you and Steven, who we're not supposed to say is your son, we talk about how you got to wait for all the leaves to fall, what other leaves are you waiting to fall on some of these contracts?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're looking for the optimal time to make a move to get all the attention and money we can get.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Jared.
That's a good answer.
You brought up
Jared Jones right here on the fan.
That's right.
You did bring up Evan Carter, though, and I know y'all kind of talked about the fool's errand part of it, but what is it going to take for him to be ready and then be back in the form that he was in when he walked from AAA or AA to the Rangers roster?
Yeah, well, first of all, I also want to just clarify with my last answer, too. I think the Cowboys are going to do a really good job of making the best decisions with their key players so that they end up having to pay more money down the road.
Oh,
like with Dak. The timing of that really worked out. That's not an answer
about Evan Carter at all.
But I appreciate the generosity of the Cowboys in that regard, right? They just want to – yeah. Corey, I think with Evan Carter – so, you know, I made the comment about the back was bothering him, and there's data that kind of shows differences with, you know, swing strength and bat speed, stuff like that.
Okay.
But, you know, he also has room for growth, too, right? And so is he going to come back and be the September and October Evan Carter? I don't know. Probably not. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle him against lefties because – you know, the Rangers are fighting for a playoff spot. You know, these games are significant. And so I think you would have loved to have had this great lineup like last year. You can stick Evan ninth against lefties and let him continue to grow in a low-pressure environment. They might not have that opportunity as they fight for a playoff spot. So, you know, he might come back and off the bat until he earns more at-bats against lefties, you know, be a guy that is in there against righties, but maybe not against lefties. But, you know, I think with Evan, it's – we just saw a lot of not taking advantage of the pitches that he works so hard to get.
Yes.
Because he's got such a great eye, and that's what makes it tough for pitchers is that they got to challenge him in the zone, and he just did a great job of taking advantage of that. But I'd be curious. I really do think, and talking to people who have seen his swing here recently compared to what it was before he went on the IL while he was trying to play through the back stuff, that they've just said that it's night and day different. He looks like a healthy human being.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Bouncing out of the MLB draft, which is obviously more tenuous usually in terms of contracts and everything, the Rangers signed Malcolm Moore. I know they signed several of their other draft picks. Do you feel like they've locked up or signed all of the people that they really, really hope to? Or is there still a name or two out there that you're like, yeah, they're trying to get them. I'm not sure if it's going to go their way yet.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that...
Thank you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would love to. I'm trying to think of a way on the fly to answer this like Jerry Jones would answer it.
No.
But, yeah, no, I won't.
We already did that.
Don't answer it like Jerry.
No, so the Rangers, you know, they've signed their top, what, 5, 6, 7. I guess the only guy the Rangers have not signed their ninth round pick, and I'm forgetting his name for the life of me right now. But they signed everyone else in the, you know, their top 10 rounds. And you know, those are the guys you really want. You know, I'm not sure. Gosh, this name better come to me.
Is this going to bother you? That you
it's going to bother me. I'm going to go.
I'm sorry.
It would never bother Mike, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it definitely would not bother Mike. You're totally right. He probably does. Ask Mike if he knows who Malcolm Moore is. We'll see. Keith Jones. Keith Jones is his name. Thanks to the internet for reminding me of that. They have not signed him. He is a college guy. I don't know if they still expect to, but I think the Rangers, if they do not make any more signings, I think they'd be pumped with their haul.
They going to sweep today?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I absolutely think. This
is a really long delay to answer that question, Jerry.
No, Max Scherzer's got to pitch well, right? It's not a gimme. This is not a given. Max, we need to see a better version of Max than we saw against the Orioles. And I'm not talking about getting hit around by the Orioles. A lot of people do that or have that done to them. But I want to see the velocity back up to 92, 92.5, maybe touching 93. He was in the 90 and 91 range last start. That's what I'd like to see kind of go back up.
Thank you very much for all the extra time
today, bro.
Jared. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys. Have fun in Oxnard.
Thanks, man.
There you go. Jared Sandler right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, here's how it's going to work. So you got Rangers, White Sox coming up at 1:35 pregame coming up in just a minute, 1 o'clock right here on The Fan. I know the Jerry Jones Welcome to Camp Presser is going on. We're taping it right now. You'll get bits and pieces of that during G-Bag, and G-Bag will be on immediately after the Texas Rangers.
And we'll probably break a little bit of it down tomorrow during the show as well.
I could definitely see that, and we're going to have Deuce Vaughn at 12:20. We're going to have a full show tomorrow, so make sure you roll on back with us tomorrow. KNC Masterpiece will be on 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's Central, right here on The Fan.
Go get Rangers.
Until yesterday without, you know, busting out the hits, and so you still kind of are hoping and waiting for this team to really hit its stride offensively, but, you know, I think the thing that, you know, jumps out, that the bullpen's been better. You know, they have consistently gotten good work from their starters, which helps. And, you know, now it's about trying to, you know, put together a run with the bats. Now, that's where maybe the Rangers in the first few games of the series, I don't want to say lucked out, but benefited from the fact they didn't face a daunting lineup that took advantage of the really good pitching. So, you know, the Rangers still offensively need a little bit of a bump. And again, maybe Adolis Garcia can help, or getting Josh Jung back, getting, you know, improvement from Wyatt Langford with his continued growth. All these things, Evan Carter, all these things hopefully will add up. It's not going to be one answer, but a lot of little things that help grow this lineup and get it back to form.
Yeah, I'm with Jared on this front of, like, believing that these kinds of games are good to get confidence back. And can I keep using this word, though. And Jared, you're welcome to use it. Continue to ascend towards the end of the year. Like, because that's the thing, is as everybody continues to get better, a little bit better, competitive at bats, all these things can grow. And this is where you kind of build the confidence as you get to those other teams.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw last year, you don't necessarily need to be surging when you get in the playoffs to win the World Series.
No kidding. No kidding.
But you know, to Corey's point, if you look at this team, it's a little bit of a different beast, right? Because they have a chance over the next 2 months, you know, as long as they have relative health, to be a totally different team than they were for the first 100-plus games of the year, right? Getting Tyler Mahle in the mix, getting Josh Jung back. Evan Carter played more than Josh Jung did, but his back was clearly bothering him, and hopefully you get a more productive Evan Carter. And then if you do make a move or two.
Hold on, Jared. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I really do have to ask, because I'm with you on this. Does it feel like a fool's errand at all to continue to say when Josh Jung comes back, when Evan Carter comes back? Because I know they've made more progress, but it does kind of feel like we've been down this road a couple of times, only to see it be like, it's going to take a little longer than we thought.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say that with Josh Jung, obviously, he's still got to get through his rehab assignment, which will start tomorrow in Frisco. But I think there's more confidence that this time around the wrist is in, you know, a better position physically. But no, that's fair. And I would even add to that, Kevin, hopefully all the burden is not placed on these guys who are coming back after missing several months, right? Tyler Mahle and Jacob deGrom more than a year. Josh Jung has played 4 games this year. Evan Carter, when he comes back, will have missed multiple months. Same with Cody Bradford. So, you know, these guys can help. They will help. Are they going to be, you know, their best form, you know, right away? I don't know. You know, so everyone's different, right? Everyone is able to come back from injuries, you know, different than the next guy. So, but I don't know that you can just guarantee it. It's not automatic. But I do think that the Rangers feel a lot better, that they're closer to getting these guys back than what was initially believed.
Now, let me ask you a hypothetical question, as if you were the Jerry press conference. What do you think the Cowboys have accomplished this offseason, besides not very much?
Yeah, I think they've done a good job of creating separation between themselves and the other teams in the division. They're just going the wrong direction.
Negative separation.
Okay,
he's talking
about
there.
I gotcha.
But they've done a really good job of locking up CD and taking care of guys.
Yeah, so about that, whenever you talked about you and Steven, who we're not supposed to say is your son, we talk about how you got to wait for all the leaves to fall, what other leaves are you waiting to fall on some of these contracts?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're looking for the optimal time to make a move to get all the attention and money we can get.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Jared.
No, that's a good answer.
You brought up
Jared Jones right here on the fan.
That's right.
You did bring up Evan Carter, though, and I know y'all kind of talked about the fool's errand part of it, but what is it going to take for him to be ready and then be back in the form that he was in when he walked from AAA or AA to the Rangers roster?
Yeah, well, first of all, I also want to just clarify with my last answer, too. I think the Cowboys are going to do a really good job of making the best decisions with their key players so that they end up having to pay more money down the road. Like with Dak. The timing of that really worked out.
That's not an answer about Evan Carter at all.
But I appreciate the generosity of the Cowboys in that regard, right? They just want to, yeah. Corey, I think with Evan Carter, so, you know, I made the comment about the back was bothering him, and there's data that kind of shows differences with, you know, swing strength and bat speed, stuff like that.
Okay.
But, you know, he also has room for growth, too, right? And so Is he going to come back and be the September and October Evan Carter? I don't know. Probably not. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle him against lefties because, you know, the Rangers are fighting for a playoff spot. You know, these games are significant. And so I think you would have loved to have had this great lineup like last year. You can stick Evan ninth against lefties and let him continue to grow in a low-pressure environment. They might not have that opportunity as they fight for a playoff spot. So, you know, he might come back and off the bat until he earns more at-bats against lefties, you know, be a guy that is in there against righties, but maybe not against lefties. But, you know, I think with Evan, it's we just saw a lot of not taking advantage of the pitches that he works so hard to get because he's got such a great eye. And that's what makes it tough for pitchers is that they got to challenge him in the zone. And he just did a great job of taking advantage of that. But I'd be curious. I really do think in talking to people who have seen his swing here recently compared to what it was before he went on the IL while he was trying to play through the back stuff, that they've just said that it's night and day different. He looks like a healthy human being.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Bouncing out of the MLB draft, which is obviously more tenuous usually in terms of contracts and everything, the Rangers signed Malcolm Moore. I know they signed several of their other draft picks. Do you feel like they've locked up or signed all of the people that they really, really hope to? Or is there still a name or two out there that you're like, yeah, they're trying to get them. I'm not sure if it's going to go their way yet.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that,
thank you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would love to. I'm trying to think of a way on the fly to answer this like Jerry Jones would answer it.
No. But,
yeah, no, I won't.
We already did that.
Don't answer it like Jerry.
No, so the Rangers, you know, they've signed their top five, six, seven. I guess the only guy the Rangers have not signed their ninth round pick, and I'm forgetting his name for the life of me right now. But they signed everyone else in the their top 10 rounds and. You know, those are the guys you really want. I'm not sure. This name better come to me.
Is this going to bother you?
It's going to bother me. I'm going to go.
I'm sorry.
It would never bother Mike, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no. It definitely would not bother Mike. You're totally right. He probably does. Ask Mike if he knows who Malcolm Moore is. We'll see. Keith Jones. Keith Jones' is name. Thanks to the internet for reminding me of that. They have not signed him. He is a college guy. I don't know if they still expect to, but I think the Rangers, if they do not make any more signings, I think they'd be pumped with their haul.
They going to sweep today?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I absolutely think.
This
why
that's a really long delay to answer that question, Jared.
No, Max Scherzer's got to pitch well, right? It's not a gimme. This is not a given. Max, we need to see a better version of Max than we saw against the Orioles. And I'm not talking about getting hit around by the Orioles. A lot of people do that or have that done to them. But I want to see the velocity back up to 92, 92.5, maybe touching 93. He was in the 90 and 91 range last start. That's what I'd like to see kind of go back up.
Thank you very much for all the extra time today,
bro.
Jared. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys. Have fun in Oxnard.
Thanks, man.
There you go. Jared Sandler right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, here's how it's going to work. So you got Rangers, White Sox coming up at 1:35 pregame, coming up in just a minute, 1 o'clock right here on The Fan. I know the Jerry Jones Welcome to Camp Presser is going on. We're taping it right now. You'll get bits and pieces of that during G-Bag, and G-Bag will be on immediately after the Texas Rangers.
And we'll probably break a little bit of it down tomorrow during the show as well.
I could definitely see that, and we're going to have Deuce Vaughn at 12:20. We're going to have a full show tomorrow, so make sure you roll on back with us tomorrow. KNC Masterpiece will be on 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's Central, right here on The Fan.
Go get Rangers.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.